Just to introduce myself, if you don't know me, my name is Ben. I work for this church. And we're going to be spending a few minutes together now just reflecting on that Christmas story and some of what it means for us. I've introduced myself. Now I want to introduce you to someone called Greg. Greg is a shift worker. Greg works awkward hours, and he does it for not very much pay. See, for years, Greg has just about been getting by. But this year for Greg, things have changed. Greg's job has stayed the same. His hours have stayed the same. His employer even gave him a pretty generous pay rise. But this year, the cost of living crisis has swallowed all of that up. Treats in his weekly shop, they went months ago. But now, with the heating on, to deal with the cold snap we've just had, essentials are going from his shopping too. He's trying his best to provide for his family, but he just can't anymore. It's becoming almost impossible for him. See, for Greg, rarely a day goes by when he doesn't stress out about money. The thought of how he's going to pay the bills just weighs heavily on him, like he's walking around with a constant black cloud over his head. So this year, in Greg's house, presents are going to be sparse. Not because he doesn't want to give, Greg loves to give, but because he can't afford to. Maybe Greg this year will just buy the family one box of Heroes to share. Maybe the Christmas present for Greg's kids will be having the heating on for an extra hour on Christmas Day. Maybe as you walk into this carol service this evening, some of that resonates with you. Some of that is a bit about how you feel about this Christmas season. Maybe it's not quite as extreme as it is for Greg, but maybe you feel the pinch. Or maybe as you walk in this evening, actually, wonderfully, you feel relatively secure financially. But your heart goes out to those like Greg who are suffering and unable to know how they're going to pay the bills. That raises a question for us, doesn't it? As we come into a church building singing songs about Christmas, while so many are suffering this Christmas, does God see? Does God care? Does God get it? Does God understand? Those are perfectly reasonable, sensible questions to ask at times like this. What we're going to see over the next few minutes is the answer to all of those questions are yes. God sees, God understands, God knows, God cares. And we know that to be true because of the Christmas story. I'm going to read one sentence that just summarizes the Christmas story for us, written by a man called Paul nearly 2,000 years ago. He wrote this: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." What we need to understand to make sense of this verse is that Jesus was rich and we are poor. To understand Christmas, we need to go back to before Christmas happened. See, every baby that comes into this world is born, and that means there is a point when they didn't exist. Then they're conceived, and then they're born. That is every child except Jesus. We sung it in our last carol. He is begotten, not created. That means he has always existed. He is God, God the Son. What was Jesus' existence like before he came into this world as a baby? Rich. That's what we're told. I don't know what you think makes life rich and satisfying. Whether it's being able to have whatever you want, whenever you want it, not having lack of any material thing. Jesus had that. Never lacked in heaven. Maybe it's relationships and peace and harmony. Jesus had that perfectly in heaven. Maybe it's no pain, no suffering. Jesus had that perfectly in heaven. Jesus never lacked anything good in heaven. Life in heaven was utterly glorious for him. Not a single bad thing. Jesus was rich. We are poor. You see, we lack, don't we? We lack materially. We may feel that more acutely this year than before. All of us have had times where there are things we wish we could have that we just can't afford. We lack emotionally. We wish we were strong enough to face that battle, but we just don't have it in us. We lack ability. We wish we could do that or fix that or help with that situation, and we just can't, because we lack ability and we lack wisdom. And most of all, we lack morally, because as we look inwards, not a single one of us can claim perfection. When we look inside, we see selfishness, greed. We see that we are morally poor, deficient, lacking, cut off from God. See, that's where that moral poverty comes from, the fact that we have cut ourselves off from the God of all goodness. Jesus was rich, we are poor. That's the natural order of things. And yet at Christmas, that order gets flipped on its head. Because at Christmas, Jesus became poor. He was rich, but he became poor. Remember what he left behind. Everything. Perfect life, perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect harmony. He leaves it all behind. And then consider what he comes into. He takes on a human body. All the limitations, frustrations, and weirdnesses of human bodies. He doesn't just take on a human body. He takes on a baby's body. He could have come straight into an adult body, but no, he comes as a baby. He comes in utter dependence. The one who has never experienced any lack of anything suddenly can't do anything on his own. And he didn't just come as any old baby boy. He came as a baby boy born into poverty. His dad was a tradesman. His mum was a teenage mum. He chose to be born in Bethlehem. Our reading from Micah chapter 5 tells us that that was always where he was going to be born. And that is important because Bethlehem was the least of all the tribes of Judah. That is, Bethlehem was a backwater place that wasn't impressive to anyone. He was born into poverty. And when they rocked up in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph didn't check into the Ritz in Bethlehem. They couldn't have afforded to. He was born into poverty. And so when he was born, nowhere to lay his head, he was put into an animal feeding trough. It's a thought for a newborn child, isn't it? It's not where I put mine when they were born. Jesus gave up everything. It isn't that Jesus was sitting in heaven and was like, I've kind of done this heaven thing and I'm a bit bored of it now. I've kind of experienced all the goodness there is. Let's go see what earth has to offer. No, he knew that the glories of heaven were infinite and tireless and that earth wasn't going to be anything like that. And yet he came down from heaven to earth. He gave up everything that heaven has to offer to be born into a limited body, to become utterly dependent, crying out for his every need. It's a staggering thought when you think about Jesus as God and yet as a baby. That means at the same time, two things are going on. Don't you ever thought about the Christmas story like this? At the same time, Jesus is sustaining Mary's life because he is God. He is giving her life and breath and everything. And yet at the same time, he is crying out to Mary to sustain his own life. Isn't that a mind-blowing thought? He is simultaneously giving his mother life and crying out to her for milk so that she can sustain his. Jesus became poor. Why? Why would he do that? Or so that we might become rich. Let's read our verse again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. All those same riches that Jesus had are on offer to anyone who comes to him. That is why he came to earth. Jesus became poor so that you might become rich. Not so that your bank account could be topped up. This isn't a promise of unlimited wealth. It's not a guarantee that you can end up with a Coutts account. If you don't know what a Kutzkan is, that's kind of like the most premium bank out there. As a bit of research for this week, and I promise it was research, I went on the Kutz website and I clicked the button that says become a client. Question one, do you have over £1 million to deposit with us? No. Question two, in the next 2 years, will you have £1 million to deposit with us? No. Question three, in the next 6 months, will any of these things change such that you'll have £1 million to deposit with us? And there's a drop-down list of options. No. This is genuinely what happens if you press no that third time. Try NatWest instead. I think they have a deal with them, so it's some kind of NatWest premium account, but that is it. Jesus didn't come to give you infinite financial wealth, but he did come to make you rich. He came to offer you the wonders of heaven's riches. He came to offer you perfect, eternal joy, peace, harmony, knowing the God who made you, and knowing that God forever looks at you and is pleased with you, knowing that eternity can be secure and it will be glorious. That is the promise that Jesus makes. Those are the riches on offer. How is that possible? Well, because at Christmas there was a big exchange. He became poor. And that poverty culminates at Easter. See, he was rich, he became poor, so that we who are poor can become rich. I don't know if any of you are avid watchers of Rich House, Poor House. It's a program on Channel 5 that I confess to have only watched one time. Here's how Rich House, Poor House works, is they take two families from the opposite ends of the wealth spectrum and they swap houses and budgets for a week. Those who have very little go and stay in a very big house and have a humongous budget for a week. Those who don't have much who do have much go and stay in a kind of small, cramped council flat. And they see what happens. Jesus offers us a wealth swap, but not a wealth swap that lasts for a week, that's part of some kind of social experiment. No, he offers us eternal riches. And he does it by going to a cross. As Jesus hangs on a cross, he has nothing, no riches. He doesn't even have any possessions at that point. He has nothing. Even the clothes that are on him are gambled away. And yet, Jesus' moral account, his moral bank account, is overflowing with credit. And at the moment as he hangs on that cross, he looks at morally bankrupt people like us and he says, in your moral bankruptcy, I can promise you infinite moral riches. Because I'm taking on your debt and I'm going to give you my credit. Jesus became poor so that we can become rich. It's a wonderful story. It's a true story. See, this Christmas, some of us, inevitably, and many others we know, will be checking our bank balances more than we ever have before. The looming credit card bill for January fills us with dread. The energy bill coming soon. It's impossible to pay. See, we'd love to be rich financially, wouldn't we? It would make some of life's problems go away. And yet we all know that riches can't buy us happiness. I don't know quite where you land on the Harry and Meghan thing, and I'm not going into that now, but one thing it does show us, riches can't buy you happiness. However much money you have, that does not buy you happiness. John Rockefeller was one of the most wealthy people who ever lived. The Rockefeller Center in New York kind of bears his name. He was once asked by a journalist, John, you've got pretty much infinite money. You are incredibly wealthy. Tell us, how much money do you need to be happy? What was the point where your bank balance kind of ticked over that you finally became happy? One of the most famous quotes in history. Do you know what he said? Just a little bit more. Because however much you have, you think the next bit of money is going to buy you happiness. But it won't. Because we long for something deeper and richer than just material things. We want something that is emotionally rich, deep, and satisfying, and that is lasting. Because whatever material thing you buy doesn't last. And that is what Jesus came to offer. He became poor so that we can become rich. Not so that we can finally open that Coutts account. Not even particularly so that we can pay the heating bills. But he came to enrich us in the areas that matter most. Eternal, joyful life. Life enjoying the riches of heaven. So a week today, as you sit at home or wherever you'll be, unwrapping those Christmas presents, and then over the coming days after that, as you eat those presents, read those presents, use those presents, wear those presents, use that this Christmas as an opportunity. Every time you see one of those gifts, remember, there is a greater gift, the greatest gift, and it's already been given. And it's on offer to each of us, a gift that offers us true, lasting, eternal joy, because Jesus gave up everything to give us everything. That's the answer to the question, does God see? Does God know? Does God care? A resounding yes. So much so that his own son gave up everything to give us everything we need. And the answer to that question then leaves each of us with a question this Christmas. Will we, this Christmas, accept the greatest gift that's ever been given? I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to hear from the choir. Father in heaven, we praise you that Jesus became poor, that he gave up all the glorious riches of heaven. And he did it so that we could become rich, eternally rich. Father, please help each of us, whatever stage we're at, to grasp with both hands the wonderful, joyful gift that you offer. Amen. The choir.